This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Obedience Under Pressure. Now today we're going to talk about obedience under pressure. What is pressure? Things don't go the way you want them to go. Amen? All of us experience pressure in life. And the fact that you are a Christian does not mean that you will not have to deal with pressure. In fact, it is the pressure times in our lives that will make us or break us as Christians. We have to learn how to deal with pressure. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Here's the thing about the pressure situations that we encounter in life. Pressure comes about because there's something happening in our life that has the real potential to take us under. If we don't handle that situation right, we can go down. And that's why we feel under pressure, under stress, and under strain. Look at these verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, what these verses are telling us is that the key to living a stress-free life, even under pressure, is to cast all your care on God. And the other side of that is this: the key to living a stress-filled life is to keep on trying to work it out for yourself. How many of you consider yourself strong here today? Let me just see. Strong people. If I take you down to the gym, physically strong. If I take you down to the gym, lay you down on the exercise machine, put 400 pounds on there and say, press this. How many think you can handle it? 400. Okay, we got one, 400. Any more? 400. Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like you're carrying about 400 pounds on your back because of the situations that are happening in your life? Amen. Does it get heavy sometimes? The burden can get more than we can carry. Isn't that right? And he gives us the privilege of, instead of trying to lift that thing up and carry it on our back and we're falling down, he says we can cast it on him. Isn't that great? We can transfer the weight to him. Why? What's the next thing it says? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. That means you got to be careful. You got to watch out for danger. Amen? Because it says you got an enemy. You got an adversary. He is like a lion looking for whom he can eat. And you don't want to be a meal. Amen? What are we supposed to do? Verse 9. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him. What does the word tell us? Resist the devil, and what's he got to do? Flee from you. Hallelujah. But catch this. How do you resist the devil? How do you resist the devil? Look at what it says. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Keep on walking in the faith. Keep on being obedient to the word of God. That's how you resist the devil. It is walking according to the word, being obedient to the word, even when the pressure is on. That's how you resist the devil. The context of this passage is pressure situations when you are suffering under the weight of adverse circumstances in your life. That's what he's talking about. When you're under pressure and under stress, it begins to wear you down, doesn't it? It just wears you down. You start getting a bad attitude. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. You start arguing and casting blame on anybody that you can. Amen. Get an amen on that one? Amen. You start feeling like nobody cares about you. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Isn't that the way it goes? Pressure. And the devil wants to use that situation to cause us to give up on God. That's what he's all about. He wants us to give up on God. Give up on the word. Give up on being obedient to God's commands. And by giving up on obeying the word, we stop doing the things that God has ordained in order to bring us through that situation victoriously. You know, it's illegal to go hunting at night with a spotlight. Because when you turn that spotlight on that deer is so mesmerized by the spotlight that he'll just stand there and look into the light, and you can walk right up and shoot him. So it's illegal. Guess what? The devil turns the spotlight on your problems, on your situation, on your pressure. He wants to catch you in that spotlight, keep you just staring at your problems, and he walks right up and knocks you in the head. That's what he's trying to do. He is trying to keep you paralyzed by the events that are happening in your life, by your circumstances, so that you are unable to respond in a godly way and unable to be an overcomer. Here are three words that we want to talk about today. You need to write them down. Three words. Number one is regrets. Regrets. Number two is upsets. Upsets. And number three is frets. F-R-E-T-S. Frets. Regrets, upsets, and frets. Let's talk about regrets. The devil wants to keep us thinking about and regretting the stupid decisions we have made in the past that helped us get in the mess we're in right now. Amen. How many of us could look back and trace back and see that at least part of the mess we're in now is due to a dumb decision we made in the past? Amen. And what the devil wants to do is to keep us looking back at that dumb decision that we made and regretting it over and over and over again. The devil wants us to have the, oh, why did I evers? Oh, why did I ever marry that person? No, don't let that amen be too loud now. You had an accident, messed up your car. Oh, why did I ever run that red light? I shared with you a couple of months ago when I had a plate of a thing of food, and I set it over here on the counter. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, don't put it there. But I said to myself, I know it's there. I'll be careful. I will not knock it down. I walked in this little room over here, bent down to turn off a switch, and guess what I did? Knocked it down. Knocked it right over. And you know how it always works, right? If you knock something over, which end goes down? The open end, so that everything falls out. And the moment that I felt myself brush against it, what did I feel? Regret. Oh, why did I ever walk in here and knock that thing down? Catch it. The devil wants to get us so wrapped up, spending all of our time and energy, all our thoughts, regretting what you did before, that you don't have any time to focus on your present and on your future. Go over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Understand this. The law of sowing and reaping always works. The law of sowing and reaping always works. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You sowed some bad seeds in your past. Amen. You sowed some bad decisions, some dumb decisions, some stupid decisions, and because of that, you have some pressure in your life today because of the decision that you made long ago. How many of you have heard of the time machine that's just been invented where you can go back in time and undo the bad decisions that you made? How many of you have heard of that? Well, I read a lot of science fiction. That's the only place you'll find it. Amen? You cannot go back and change decisions that you've made in the past. The devil wants to keep you thinking about it, keep you saying, oh, if I had only not done that, but you cannot go back and change it. No matter how much you think about it, no matter how much you dwell on it, it is a total waste of time and energy to dwell on what happened in the past. So we just read in 1 Peter 5, we're supposed to resist the devil. How do you resist him when he's trying to keep you regretting what's happened in the past? Catch it. If the law of sowing and reaping is working against you, you need to turn it around and cause it to work for you. A couple of years ago, I made a bad decision about my lawn. If you remember, a couple of years ago, we had drought that summer. And I went out and I put fertilizer down on my lawn to make it grow. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know anything about grass. Amen. This is not my thing. But I was trying to do the best I knew how to do. I went out and put fertilizer down. I mean, I worked hard at this. Getting out there spreading this stuff. And you know what the effect of it was? Kill the grass. It killed all my grass. And guess what? I regretted it. Why did I ever go and put that stuff down? And if he could have, the devil would have kept me just sitting there regretting that I'd ever done that, put all that time and energy and money in it just to kill my grass. Oh, why did I ever do that? I was so dumb. That was so stupid. Instead of going through all that, you know what I did? I went and got some grass seed and planted some more grass. Catch it. If you are reaping the results of bad decisions in the past that are putting you under pressure today, the way you fix the situation is not to go back and undo the decision you made. You can't do that. What do you need to do? Plant some new seeds. Plant some seed today that's going to bear good fruit for you in the future. Forget about thinking about what you did in the past. That's over and done with. You take it to God. 1 John 1:9, what? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You take it to him and then you turn your attention to the future. Start being obedient to the word today, and in due time, you will reap your reward. Go over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. You know this, you've seen this, but you need to be reminded of it. When the devil tries to get you looking to your past and regretting the decisions that you made that caused you to be in the pressure situation you're in now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When you find yourself regretting, full of regrets about what you did in the past, you put it under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. You go, you confess it, you repent of it. Lord, I'm not going that way again, but I can't go back and undo it. So I put it in your hands. Cast that care on him. And then leave it behind. Don't let the devil drag you back to what you cannot change. Here's the second word. Upsets. The devil starts off by trying to get us caught up in regrets, looking back to the bad decision. Then he tries to get us caught up in upsets, keeping us so upset about what's going on in our life right now, in such turmoil about our situation that we can't function. He wants to keep you so depressed about being laid off your job that instead of going out and getting your resume out and starting searching for another job, you sit home all day watching Oprah because you're depressed. He wants to keep you so angry and bitter at that person that you thought was going to marry you, but they left you, they walked out on you for somebody else. The devil wants to keep you so angry and bitter at that person that you have such a bad attitude, nobody wants to be around you, including the person that God intended you to have in the first place. Upset. Upset about what's happening in our lives today. He wants to keep you so upset and frustrated and angry at the way they treat you at work that you're always thinking about it and always talking about it. And you have such a sour attitude that it totally destroys your Christian testimony among your coworkers. You see, that's what the devil wants to do. Keep you upset about what's going on in your life today. You see, the devil understands something that many Christians don't understand. When you are going through a pressure situation in your life, it's a test. Go over to James chapter 1. Look at verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Understand, God allows you to go through pressure situations in your life as a test. God's purpose and God's intent is for you to pass the test. Because catch it. God wants you to pass the test because you cannot have a testimony until you pass the test. You got to have a test that you pass in order to have a testimony. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see it? In order for you to have a testimony that you can share with somebody else to help them get through, guess what? You got to go through yourself. You have to have faced a situation where you saw God bring you through in order that you can have a testimony to share with somebody else about how God can bring them through. You cannot have a testimony until you pass the test. Let me ask you this. How many of you would not have learned as much as you learned in school if there had been no tests? Amen. Because what did the test cause you to do? Study. Amen. How many of you are honest enough to admit that you would not have studied as much as you did if you knew there were not going to be any tests? Come on, let me just say, amen. Everybody, amen. See what? The test, the prospect of the test changed your behavior. It caused you to do what you needed to do to become better yourself. You weren't thinking about, I'm going to be a better person because of this studying. No, what were you thinking? I'm going to pass this test. Amen. So the purpose of a test is not to cause you to fail. The purpose of the test is to change you. It's to cause you to do what you need to do to become the person that you are meant to be. And that's God's purpose for every test he allows us to go through. Look at 1 Peter 5:10 once again. 1 Peter 5:10. Here it is. Look at what God wants to do through the test, through the pressure situations that he allows us to go through in life. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after you've been under pressure for a while, after you have been going through the test for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what God is all about. He allows you to go through the test situation in order to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So now, we're talking about being obedient under pressure. What's the point of obedience? Where's the place that you need to be obedient when the devil is trying to get you upset about what you're going through right now? Go to James chapter 1 again. Verse 2. My brethren, when you fall into various trials, what are you supposed to do? Count it all joy. How many of you got some kind of pressure situation going on right now? How many of you would like to get rid of that situation? Amen. Let me put my hands up. Amen. So why in the world would the Bible say that when we get under a pressure situation, we are supposed to count it joy? Goes back to what we were just talking about. What is God doing in the midst of your pressure situation? He's forming you into the person you're meant to be. Isn't that right? Guess what? If you follow the word of God in the midst of your pressure, you're going to come out stronger than you ever were before. Amen. You're going to come out more complete than you ever were before. You're going to come out more capable of coping with life than you ever were before. And you're going to come out with a better testimony for Christ than you ever had before. And when we take hold of that and take our eyes off the mess, take our eyes off the mess and look beyond the mess to Jesus and what he's doing in our life, we can rejoice and give him the praise. Amen. The third word is frets. The devil wants to start us off with regrets about the past and then being upset about the present. And then he wants us to fret about the future. What does that word fret mean? To worry. Isn't that right? To worry. The devil wants us to keep fretting, worrying about the future. Catch it. You know what worry is like, fretting? It's like you go out to your car, turn on the engine, put the transmission in neutral, and then floorboard that accelerator. What happens? You get a lot of noise, a lot of shaking, and you don't go anywhere. Isn't that right? You just sit there using up gas. Anybody here, you think you're going 100 miles an hour and you're just sitting there shaking. That's what worry is like. You put all of that energy, that mental energy, into thinking about what's going to happen, what possibly can happen. Oh, if that happens, if this happens, what am I going to do? And so forth and so on. And you think about it in the daytime while you're at work. And you think about it when you come home and you're watching TV and it's on your mind. You go to bed, you can't sleep because you're still thinking about it. And what have you accomplished? All you're doing is wasting gas. Amen? That's what the devil wants us to be doing. Spending all of our time fretting about what might happen in the future. Go back and look at 1 Peter 5:10 one more time. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Catch it. God's already got a plan for your future. He already knows what he's going to do in your life, in your future. You know what the wonderful thing is? God is not caught by surprise by our messes. Amen? God is not caught by surprise by the messes that we get ourselves into. In fact, He has already taken them into account. He has already set it up so that he can bring us through the mess to the place he wants us to be. Go over to Jeremiah 29:11, one of our favorite verses here. Jeremiah 29:11. Understand this. God does not operate on the if only you hadn't done it principle, because he knew you were going to do it in the first place. Amen. Look at this. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans to give you hope and a future. And guess what? When he put that plan in place to give you hope and a future, he already knew about that dumb decision that you made 10 years ago that has you in the mess you're in now. So God's plan to prosper you, to give you hope, to give you a future, already takes into account the dumb decisions you made in life. He was not caught by surprise. Catch it. Somebody said today is the first day of the rest of your life. They were right. Forget about what you did in the past. Know that from this moment, God has a good plan for your life. If you will follow and be obedient to his word, he will get you there. So you don't have to keep looking back regretting the decision that you made that you can't undo. You don't have to keep being upset about what's happening today. All you need to do is to cast the care of all of that on him and move forward into your future. But let me tell you something. How many of you have been dumb once? You made dumb decisions once. Let's go for two. How many of you? let me ask you this now. How many of us have made the same dumb decision more than once? Three times? How far do I have to go with this? Catch it. Let's not make the same dumb decision again. Amen. You see, that dumb decision that you made before was somehow to try to work it out for yourself instead of following the word of God. That's the decision. I don't know the details of what your dumb decision was, but I know that it was dumb because you took it on yourself to figure out what you could do instead of being obedient to the word. If you don't want to be in the same pressure situation a year from now, you need to make up your mind from this moment forward. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. The devil wants to crush you by the pressure that's in your life. The pressure may be piling on, but you will hold up because you are not the one that's carrying the load when you cast your care on him.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.